My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Browns are still down in West by God, getting ready to come up next week as they get ready for their first preseason game of the year. They got three of them this year. Two in Cleveland, one in Seattle. Mary Kay Cabot, she covers every single one of them games, preseason or not. She joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing very, very well. Mary Kay, how has Deshaun Watson looked throughout training camp so far?
You know, I think he's looked good. He really has looked good. I wrote the other day, the last practice that we saw, he started a little bit slow in just regular QB receiver drills and some 7-on-7s, and then as the practice went along, he got much better. He warmed up, and he settled into himself, and he did really nicely in an 11-on-11 period and a 7-on-7 red zone period. So he's progressing. He's coming along well. He's thrown every day, which I've been surprised about. Today they're in full pads. We'll see how everything goes today, but so far, so good.
Mary Kay, like it's not even just about Watson. I think it's about a lot of quarterbacks. I was pretty general about it on social media this morning. There's a lot of people make big deals about interceptions and errant passes in the early parts of training camp. Like, yeah, I don't want to see it in practice in week six that much. But, you know, this is the time you work on things now that you get guys back. They're kind of healthy now. You know, you didn't have a lot of guys working in OTAs and things like that. So how important to it is Kevin Stefanski? Does he make a big deal about interceptions and errant passes during training camp, during the early parts of training camp anyway?
Well, I do think that you have to note everything. You have to watch everything, because if you are throwing picks and a lot of errant passes in practice, then, you know, sometimes the way you practice is the way that you do ultimately play. So I do think it matters. For anybody to say that training camp reps and all of these things don't matter, I just can't agree with that by any stretch of the imagination, because it does matter. That's how quarterbacks win quarterback competitions in training camp. So these things do matter, what you're seeing down here. But again, you have to keep it in context. You have to take certain things, you know, with a grain of salt. You have to know what they're trying to work on and what they're trying to do. You have to know what kind of defense is out there. So if you can't see it with your own two eyes, you know, you can't necessarily judge it or evaluate it the way that you can if you're here.
Just overall, the offense, we had been hearing a lot of RPO stuff. Is that what you're seeing? Are you seeing anything dramatically different, say, than you would have a year ago at this time?
Well, you know, you are seeing a lot of three wide. You're seeing shotgun. You're seeing spread, RPO, all those things that we knew that they were going to do. You are seeing those kinds of things. So there will be changes, and you can identify some of those changes now. Again, we are not supposed to be filming a lot of those kinds of things that would give too much away. But, yes, all those things that we've talked about that Ken Dorsey is known for, they're implementing those things into this offense, and the quarterbacks are doing a nice job with those things. Deshaun looks really comfortable. Now, I did write that the other day that he, you know, that it looked to me like he quit before some of the other quarterbacks. But, you know, I've been told that was it, that he was done for the day at that point. and that was nothing, that was much ado about nothing. But once again, sometimes you have to go by what you see with your own two eyes and what you know to be things that you've seen before. And if something looks just a little bit different, I think it's okay to share that or to note that.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the hotline. Mary Kay, how has the wide receiver group looked so far, especially, you know, guys, again, coming back from injury, working within an offense that they're trying to, you know, throw some new wrinkles in with Ken Dorsey?
Well, you know, it looks good so far, but once again, they have not had Jerry Jeudy out there yet. So the top three wides that you will be seeing most of the time, Amari, Jerry Jeudy, and Elijah Moore, we haven't seen that yet. And so, you know, it's going to be imperative to get that group out there together as soon as they possibly can. I think that's important. And I'm sure it will happen one of these days soon, but I think that's been a little bit of an unfortunate part of mini camp and training camp so far, is that we haven't seen Jerry Jeudy. He was their biggest offensive acquisition of the offseason, and you want to see him out there. You want to see what he can do, but he's been nursing a little bit of a knee injury, a minor knee injury, I've been told. But still, you know, it's just been a little unfortunate that you haven't been able to see the offense together yet, or Deshaun really working with Jerry Jeudy yet.
Are you getting a sense at all about a timetable for Nick Chubb and his return?
Not really. You know, whenever I see him do something great, like squat 540 or run sprints in front of Jimmy Haslam, I think it's getting close. And then they pump the brakes on that. So I really don't have a great handle on when he will be back. But he looks good physically, and that bodes well for the near future, because the way that you see him run, the way that you see him cut, it looks like he can do football activity pretty soon. And so I think at some point during this camp, he will be activated and that he will be available for one of those first three games.
Mary Kay,
sorry
about that. How is Andy Dickerson taking the offensive line, and maybe what are some of the changes that you've heard between him and his predecessor, Bill Callahan?
Well, you know, he's different than Bill in just in terms of his coaching style. Bill was a very hard-nosed coach. He rode those guys hard, and I'm sure Andy is to a degree as well, but maybe it's just a little bit less intense for them than it was with Bill. Those guys, I watched Bill Callahan really come down hard on DeJuan Jones a lot last year, but, you know, it had the desired effect. That was a really, really good offensive line. Those guys rose to the top of their professions under Bill Callahan, and I'm sure it will be the same under Andy. The thing on the offensive line to be looking at right now is who's going to be playing left tackle in 5 weeks, because right now it's been James Hudson, and they really want Jed out there, and if they can't get Jed out there, then they really need Jack Conklin out there. So that's one area to watch. They really need their left tackle back out on the field.
One of the bigger stories so far has been Mike Vrabel. The videos have been awesome, seeing him work with guys like Njoku and racing Jameis Winston on the field. And then he got an opportunity to address the media. And then we found out he's not actually going to be involved on game days, which surprised me considering what a valuable mind, what a great benefit that you could get out of somebody like that. That surprised you at all, that he's not going to be involved on game days?
Maybe a little bit, but we never really knew exactly what his role was going to be. So, and I wonder if that will evolve as well. Maybe they'll all decide, hey, why not put Mike to use on game day as well? But as of now, that's not how it's supposed to going to go. We talked about, you know, he's so into the analytics piece. Maybe he would be useful in some way that way on game day. But you never know. His role is evolving, and he's so involved in everything else that perhaps that will be something that's added in.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So what does the rest of the schedule look like for the Browns before they come back to Cleveland here? What are they planning on doing as far as running into each other and everything like that?
Well, we just found out a few minutes ago that we have to be over at the Greenbrier. We're not at the Greenbrier. We're in Lewisburg. So we have to be over at the Greenbrier for Kevin by 9 o'clock. So if it sounds like I'm scrambling around and out of breath a little bit, it's because I'm trying to get ready to hurry up and get out the door. But yeah, so we have Kevin at 9 o'clock today. We have practice at 9:30 today. It was supposed to be 10:45 for practice. So it'll be a full practice in pads today. And then just a shorter practice tomorrow at 9 a.m. And then everybody heads back to Cleveland for the first full practice in front of fans on Sunday. So it's starting to heat up. Today's practice should be pretty good, pretty interesting with those full pads on. Eager to see if anybody comes back after the sort of off day yesterday and see how everybody looks with the pads crunching.
Mary Kay, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. We know you got to get moving. Thank you very much for the time you were able to give us. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
I was having a conversation with a friend named Randy, and he had brought up how excited he was for week one. Now, you know how I am. When we come off a good season, like when we came off of 2020, I was nervous. I'm not nervous. I was more than happy to wait a long time during the offseason for 2021. When you come off a good season and then there's expectations, then it's like, man, I know the grind. I know how hard it is week to week to rise to those expectations. And they fell flat in 2021. And obviously there were major changes after 2021. So this offseason, I've been kind of like, hey, let's watch some baseball and let's see what the Cavs do and everything else there. And plus they didn't have a first round pick, so that made things a little bit easier. Now it didn't. And now you got Mike Hall Jr., you got Zach Zinter and everybody else. And then, you know, that adds some element to it. But either way, you know, I've been more than willing to kind of wait it out this offseason. Now we're getting raring to go. You got the Hall of Fame game tonight at 8 o'clock, which you can hear right here on 92.3 The Fan. A lot going on. But, I had my friend say, hey, I'm really looking forward to week one. I go, well, it's right around the corner here. And I thought about it. And I said, my gosh, I already think I have a take on week one, where I think Deshaun Watson is the most important figure to the Browns all year long. I heard a couple people talking about it yesterday. They have a frequent guest, Mark Ross, on, the former general manager, front office guy, on Afternoon Drive. He was speaking about Deshaun Watson yesterday. Don't disagree with any of that. Obviously, you can't sit there and play down your most important player, which is your quarterback, and especially with everything that goes into it. But I don't know if he's the most important figure to winning every single week. Overall, he is. But I thought of week one, and I thought, now, you've made a big deal. Now, I don't know if this is going to be absolutely 100% true, but this is where I go with it. Week one, you have the Cowboys, right? Now, we've heard different stories. You don't know whether it's true or not, about Mike McCarthy and how he's getting tired of Jerry Jones and meddling and everything like that. And you got Dak Prescott tone, where Dak Prescott, he's in tier four, where it's like, hey, it's a put up or shut up type of thing because you're betting on yourself with your contract. Like, yeah, you got a lot of talent. Your record has been good, but it's not been to the standard of what I don't think I want to say standard. It's not been to the hopes of what the Cowboys have wanted it to be, and Jerry Jones has kind of talked tough with you. I wonder if it's a thing where Mike McCarthy's going to want to try to show off, and I wonder if they go back to what the Texans did against the Browns. And so my theory right now, and it's a work in theory and things might change, we'll see how it goes. My theory right now would be, well, wouldn't the most important person to things be Jim Schwartz and the defense, the entire defensive unit, and answering the call of what maybe Mike McCarthy might do with what he saw with Houston last year in the playoff game and what he might try against the Browns, and maybe he quote-unquote shows off the way I just said it, and that your defense would have to answer the bell? Like, I could see your offense. They got playmakers, but they have problems with their defense over there with Dallas. Like, I could see Deshaun Watson having a solid game, the Browns offense having a solid game, but I think your defense is going to obviously have to show up for week one.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt that in this copycat league, the dominant Browns defense, where did it show its holes? It showed its holes mostly, you know, during the season against teams that use their aggressiveness against them. Mm-hmm. And that was no different, obviously, in the Houston game. And it's amazing that we weren't able to combat that. It's not like we were getting blown out. It's not like we were down 28 points. And, you just got to throw out the game plan. Like, yeah. I do think there would have been opportunities for them to be able to adjust a little bit. And so now the question is, and Jim Schwartz has kind of addressed this, like, we need to have an off-speed pitch. We need to have something else in our arsenal. And so you wonder how different that's going to look.
I don't know. I think that with what Jim Schwartz has done defensively, I shouldn't say I don't know, but I know that he's going to add in a couple of different wrinkles here. I just haven't seen him yet. We haven't been down in West Virginia. Daryl has. And what really are we going to be able to see during some of the media sessions when guys are running around in T-shirts and shorts? Defensively, though, with what they've done, he said it himself, he could add a couple of new things. Because remember, Robert Mays of The Athletic, he was questioning some things, going, can you repeat what you did last year? Or will teams kind of figure you out. Like, he almost brought it up as almost a one-note pony last year with the Browns defense, which he still will say was good, but he knows they're going to need to be more because obviously teams are going to adjust. And I think that Mike McCarthy, offensive guy, might want to show off in a little bit, show that they can do it. And I think that, yes, Deshaun Watson is very important, but in the case to winning the game against the Cowboys, how important really is he? Because there's a lot of things that you don't get to see in the preseason. I don't know if Deshaun's going to play in the preseason. I don't know how many Browns players are going to play in the preseason. Week one, I know it tends to be sloppy, but Tone, all these games matter. And I'm thinking, man, I think we should probably be in the build up to week one. We should be talking a little bit more about the defense. Yeah. Not all year, but we should be talking a little bit more about the defense and how to win week one against the Cowboys.
Defense is going to be huge. Dallas, their weighted DVOA last year was eighth best in the NFL. So I think they probably feel pretty confident, especially if the weather's good. Unlike last year's tsunami in the opener against Burrow, I think they probably feel like they'll be able to put up points. If they can just, and it's not easy, it's always easier to plan it, but if they can limit Miles Garrett's dominance, right? Houston was able to do it. Now, I don't know how banged up Miles was, and I think we'll always be asking that question. But, man, you didn't hear Miles Garrett's name, the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
You didn't hear his name once in the Texans game.
Speak of the devil, by the way, he was the top ranked by EA Sports. You had a thought yesterday of maybe we overcorrected a little bit when it comes to Miles Garrett.
Well, it's just every year it was a different guy. It was Nick Bosa. It was T.J. Watt. Then Micah Parsons got all the run. And then Miles wins Defensive Player of the Year. And now it's just unequivocally, he's the best defensive player in the NFL. And I'm like, are we just going to change our minds a year from now? Like, is that all it is?
I think they tend to take turns. And I think this year was Miles' turn. And I think that for your fan base, I think a Bosa fan base... Well, you could take that a bunch of different ways, couldn't you? But yeah, a Bosa fan base or T.J. Watt's fan base or Miles' fan base, I think they all clamor and get mad and get upset until it's their guy's time. Now it seems to be justified. Like, are we still going to have...
Well, that's Micah Parsons' turn this year,
yeah,
right?
Do we have to... And by the way, it's been weird there because if you follow anything that they're saying down there, it's like, well, could they trade Micah Parsons? Could we get... Remember, we had that conversation about whether or not the Browns ever would have the wherewithal to get a guy like Micah Parsons and put him on this defense. Like, these were wild times. I think it could end up being Micah Parsons' turn here. But now that Miles has the Defensive Player of the Year, now that he seems to have the justification by anybody who covers football, just how great he really is, I think we've kind of lost a thing to fight about when it comes to Miles. Like, you remember before, 2 years ago, there was a show on this station.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ours questioning whether or not he loved football. There was a time where, yes, you and I had to call insiders during the show, cold calling insiders and putting them on the hotline and ask Miles is elite, because you and I and Owen are saying he's elite. Mitch wasn't with us at the time. You and I and Owen are saying that he's elite. I'm getting calls 2 years ago the year before last year, saying, no, you guys are wrong. He's overrated. I mean, calling the guy overrated. Browns fans calling him overrated. And we're going, no, he's elite. Well,
then we got it again after the playoff game.
And we got it again after the playoff game. But now I have Defensive Player of the Year. All the accolades are there. And it's kind of a standard of, yes, he's great. We know how great he is. Do we have to fight for Myles Garrett anymore? Do Browns fans have to do that anymore?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think he clearly proved if he's not the best pass rusher in the game, he clearly proved he's always in the conversation.
The only next point of contention I think I could ever find for the guy, like this year I set a standard of 15 sacks because that's just what he is. He'll be able to get to the quarterback. I would, and I think he was able to do it a little bit more, and that's why I'm going back and watching games a little bit. You know, was he able to show up later in the football games than he was before? Because it was always said, you know, he's a first and second quarter guy, and then he would, quote-unquote, disappear in the fourth. Where I don't think all the advanced metrics would say different there. I think offenses are allowed to make adjustments. And he had Za'Darius Smith this last season, and he had Obo Okoronkwo this last season, who were both very helpful to him and will be back this coming season for him. So it made him a little bit better, more of a third and fourth quarter guy. But I think the only other point of contention that we're going to have with him is now in year eight, how much longer does it go? And I think how much longer does it go, and this is where I bring Deshaun Watson back to it, I think Deshaun will dictate how much longer it goes. Deshaun goes out and has a great year, the Browns offense gets going, and they win enough football games to make the playoffs. Even if they get close and don't make the playoffs, say, I think Miles is fine. If there's a very bad year that's turned in, and it looks like they have to liquidate assets, we're going to have that conversation. We had that conversation about Joe. We will have that conversation about Myles Garrett and the return you get on him. You know it and I know it. But I think that his next frontier is, where after 8 years does he go against Father Time? Where does that happen? But as of right now, he is right in his place that it feels you and I have been fighting for over the last couple of years, and now finally it's justified that, yeah, everybody agrees he's a great defensive end. I make the jokes. He's one of the best defensive ends in the league, and as of right now, the best defensive end in the league, the best defensive player. You and I make jokes about T.J. Watt. I have. But honestly, I know T.J. Watt's special, too. I like to troll Steelers fans.
They're both unbelievable.
And I'm enjoying my time now that Myles Garrett has his time in the sun. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Kevin Stefanski is going to have his press conference. So you got to listen to that. Getting ready for practice down there at the Greenbrier in West Virginia, not Berea. SummerSlam in town on Saturday. Brown Stadium.
You believe it's finally here?
Yeah, it is here. It's going to be amazing.
Our fans, from the moment that event got announced, anytime we get big events, and that feels like one of the big watershed events in wrestling, and we have it here in our backyard this weekend.
And we have a WWE superstar, I think one of the fan favorites that you could possibly have going on right now, one of the hottest ones you could have going on right now in all of professional wrestling. L.A. Knight joins us right now. He joins us right here in studio this morning. Hello, L.A. Knight. Good to see you. Good
best
to talk to you.
Best thing going today. That's what they're talking about. Yeah, man, it's a big weekend here at SummerSlam. And for me particularly, you're talking about a big shot at the U.S. Championship. But we can get into all that. What are we doing here, boys?
How is your schedule right now?
Ridiculous.
You look like $1 million. I have to admit. The tan, everything.
I tell you what, it's taken a lot to get me together this morning. I don't know how you guys do this every morning because I am such a night owl. So, you know, me getting up, that's why I got these shades on right now to hide these bloodshot eyes, because it's been, you talk about a schedule. I was just in Japan over the weekend. Before that, Puerto Rico. Before that, Mexico. It never stops. We're always running. We got live TV every single week. We got live events in between there. So there's a lot going on.
You're in the Smart Choice Windows and More studios. You were in Tokyo. Were you in the Dome?
No, actually, I'd love to tell you what we were in. I can't remember what it was called. We were in Osaka for one night. We were in Tokyo for two nights, and I cannot remember the name of the arena. Something something Sumo Hall.
I mean, how different were the fans there compared to the fans you get to perform and entertain here?
They're very much WWE fans in the sense that they knew everything, they knew everyone, they were on board with everything. But there is a different, there is kind of a more like almost quiet hush and watch, and then when something happens, like, oh, it's really interesting because it's like things that the people here might not even react to. If two guys try and tackle each other and one guy doesn't go down, it's like, oh, and it's like, wow, okay, that got a big reaction.
Did they appreciate more the technical aspects of it, or did they want the showmanship?
I can't really say more one way or the other because they reacted to all of it. So it's just that it's different, and I don't know how to really put my finger on that other than the fact that like they just react. They had a slightly different reaction as far as like how they take it in.
Favorite foreign country to wrestle in?
Oh my gosh.
Could it be Japan because of the history?
Maybe, but at the same time, man, you look at these European countries between France and, I mean, even when we were in Brussels or we were in the UK, and these fans get rabid. It's wild. The energy in those buildings, they just start creating chants. I don't even know what they're saying half the time, but it's a crazy environment. So I don't know, man. It's such a battle now, it seems like, to where all these crowds are trying to outdo each other to try and get the attention back on them. Let's get the shows back in France. Let's get the shows back in the UK. So everybody now wants to be the big, best crowd.
I'm just curious. LA Knight in studio with us. Get ready for SummerSlam. When we were young, I mean, it was WrestleMania number one, and then I feel like SummerSlam was right behind. It might have been a 1B for us on how excited we were. Do you have kind of etched in your memory being a young wrestling fan, like moments from SummerSlam that stick out, or a moment where you're like, I want to be a part of this someday?
You know, I never had that thought that far ahead where it was like, oh yeah, I want to do this someday. That never came to me until I was in college. But I mean, I was always enamored with it, always in love with it. I mean, when I think of SummerSlam, I can remember being on the on vacation at the beach, Ocean City, Maryland. That's where I used to go back in the day, if anybody's familiar. Mm-hmm. I can remember specifically Hulk Hogan returning to face Earthquake. That was such a big thing because he'd been injured, and you know they do the whole montage with the door closing, or the locker room door closing on his gear, and you're like, oh my gosh, is Hulk Hogan dead? Is he okay? Is he fine? Is he coming back? And then here he comes back, and you know, victoriously comes back to beat Earthquake. So I mean, things like that. I'm sure there's plenty of other SummerSlam moments, but for some reason as a child, that's the one that sticks out.
Who trained you?
I started actually right down the road in Cincinnati, Ohio at HWA. So it was Les Thatcher and Cody Hawk. Cody Hawk kind of took over maybe a few months after I'd started there, but Les Thatcher was the guy who owned the place, started the place. So it was a mix between those two, but I'd say Cody Hawk was more the hands-on guy.
Do you feel at these big events, you know, somebody like you, it seems like you never say no. I mean, if you're in Tokyo one day, if you're in Puerto Rico the next, it seems like you're obviously, first of all, somebody they feel like they can market. Obviously, you're skilled enough to be able to do all this and physically fit enough to do everything. Do you feel like you have to get up for a weekend like this, or is this you 365, no matter where you go, you're never going through the motions? It's always going to be a huge event.
I would love to say that every day I'm just up and on and amped and ready to do this stuff. But yeah, I mean, some days it's harder than others. But I mean, you talk about the success and all that stuff, and in a weird way, it wasn't supposed to be that way. The people made me that way. The fans made me that way. And for them to gravitate toward me, and I guess, look, I got to take my own credit, give myself my flowers here. I made it that way. And because there's something about whatever I was doing that made the people gravitate toward me and tell the company, hey, this is our guy. He might be a jerk, but he's our jerk.
I love that, though. I love that because I'm watching, me and the wife are watching the Lou Big Papa Pearlman documentary. He's the guy with the boy bands, right?
Yeah.
And there's the big debate is, did he make these guys or these kids, or were they going to blossom no matter what? And I feel like that is sometimes what wrestlers are faced with. Like, you might not get the credit that you right. deserve because somebody else was the kingmaker.
Sure. Well, but I mean, look, it's a conglomerative effort, and there's no way that it can't be, because those kids you talk about in that particular instance, they wouldn't have the opportunity to shine without that platform. And at the same time, he couldn't have created those groups without those kids. So it's everybody coming together, right place, right time, that kind of thing. And for me, you know, I had so many years of frustration not being here way before and doing this because I knew I could do this at a high level long, long ago. But at the same time, if you really look at it, the timing was perfect. Everything worked out just how it was supposed to. And I couldn't be happier if we're really getting down to it.
You mentioned that you're wrestling for the U.S. Championship. You did not say the name Logan Paul.
My bad.
Give me one word that describes Logan Paul.
Oh, boy. Well, it would only take one word to do it. I don't know if I can say it on the radio or not.
We can dump it if we need to.
Oh, well, I mean, we'll say it's a female hygiene product.
Oh, my God in heaven.
Is that fair? Can I say that?
Out there. That's fine. Now, he's a local guy.
That's multiple words, but if you actually say the word, it's one word.
You understand he's a local guy, but it's a little bit weird. Anytime we talk about the Paul brothers, there will be a bunch of people who call in and say he's not from Cleveland, he's from Westlake.
Lightning rod.
That's the word. Yeah, well, I mean, that's like me being local. I'm from, I started wrestling in Cincinnati. So, I'm an Ohio boy, I guess, myself, but not really. Logan Paul went running and screaming from here a long time ago, and now he lives down in Puerto Rico, and good for him. But, the last time we were in Cleveland together, me and him, the people didn't seem to care too much for him, and I don't think anything's going to change this weekend.
It's outstanding.
I love that. I mean, he's a lightning rod. Him and his brother, no matter what they do, whether it's their business savvy.
Something stupid.
Influencers. Well, they've stepped in it a number of times, that's for sure.
No, but you know what? Credit to him, though, because Jake Paul out there doing the whole boxing thing and getting big eyes on that. And even Logan Paul dipping his toe in the same stuff. They've done a lot of big things, and I can't take that away from them. So big kudos, big respect to that. But at the end of the day, SummerSlam this weekend, I don't care what Logan Paul's done inside or outside the wrestling business. Bottom line is he's going to lose that United States Championship to this guy.
Dustin Rhodes, Goldust, had a tweet about a week ago, and I wanted to ask you what you thought about it. You've been an enhancement talent in the past. He said, please stop using the term jobber. It's extremely disrespectful to everyone who is putting their bodies on the line each week. All of us are, quote unquote, enhancement talent. We enhance each other's careers. He went on in some detail. Do you find the term jobber to be demeaning? Should I stop using the term jobber?
I mean, sure, you jobber. I don't know, really. The funny thing is I try to detach myself from social media as much as I can, but people overuse that word a lot. Mm. It's like people, I know this cool inside term, so I'm going to use it ad nauseum as much as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if a guy loses one match, they'll be like, oh, he's a jobber now. It's like, guys, let's relax. It's part of the deal. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. So it's definitely overused by the average person who's not in the business. That's for damn sure. I don't hear it that much from anybody in the business. I think it's kind of a passe term as far as being used inside the business. It's usually most people trying to be cool on the internet, if you will.
What's your relationship like with Vic Joseph?
We go to a place called Hungry Crab every now and then down in Orlando. We both are big seafood lovers. And so you go down there and you get your little saucy plate of crabs and shrimp and things like that. So that's our spot.
Well, how does it make you feel you're using the exact same microphone he used when he was an update anchor?
We're going to have to change microphones then. Gross.
LA Knight with us in studio. So is there any jitters anymore about headlining shows, about being, you know, such a big piece of SummerSlam, of you know, obviously the Royal Rumble and the WrestleMania and what have you? Is there any more jitters anymore as you go through the curtain?
I guess it depends on your definition of jitters. I mean, there's always like butterflies. I think if you don't get butterflies just before you're going out there, my God, you're not alive. I don't know how you don't. I mean, you're about to walk out there in front of 20,000, 50,000, 60,000, depending where you are. I mean, this weekend, I don't know how big it's going to be, 60,000, 70,000 people out there. There's no way not to get those butterflies going beforehand. Jittery as far as like right now, no, I'm cool and calm. But Saturday, when it gets time and it gets there, that's when all the nerves are going to start going. And the crazy thing is, the second you go through that curtain, it's all gone, because then it's business time.
I love hearing that.
But you mentioned something interesting about social media, and like we're watching Olympic events like crazy. Is this fast walking? What is this?
Yeah, I was really trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah. Speed walking.
I thought this was a parody of something. Those guys are cheating right there. That guy's running at the front. He's doing like a slight jog for sure.
They monitor the video. Yeah. They go back to the replay board to make sure.
Yeah, somebody's got to yank him.
But like even these guys, I'm sure if you follow them on social media, you'd see that they have endorsements. They have followings. They're influencers. The sprinters that you're going to see. So when you say you try to ignore social media, is there a big push, though, by the company to make sure that you guys are engaging with fans and making sure that you are out there and that you're not just performing at the shows?
Sometimes, and some people get into it more than others. I personally am not big on it. I don't think it's necessary. And that's me being old school. I don't know. But for me, it's like I'm just going to post kind of the stuff that's going to point you in the direction of seeing our TV shows. So for me, it's just, hey, look, here's the deal. Here's what I'm doing on TV. Make sure you catch it. Other than that, I'm not really into Twitter beefs or any of that kind of nonsense. What do they call it? X beefs now? I'm not sure. But for me, it's just, let me get the business at hand. TV pays me. Twitter doesn't.
Oh, gosh. That could be a great lesson for just about anybody out there. LA Knight, we thank you very much for the time. Enjoy Cleveland. Enjoy SummerSlam. And we hope to talk to you again soon. I mean that.
Appreciate you guys having me. And look, all hail the new U.S. champion. Yeah.
Let's go.
All right. Like LA Knight, the to-be U.S. champion, WWE superstar. He will be at SummerSlam coming up on Saturday. Obviously, make sure you're watching Peacock, the whole thing. Obviously, if you're there, make sure you're there to see it as well.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!